Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, 4 weeks ago, the question was, here we are with the new year, now what? Now what? I've told you for 2 weeks in a row, I really felt bad. I really felt bad when I was coming with the part one here, based on the way we left you on the day before we left the old year. And usually they're singing and we're speaking faith. And here's what I told you, it's going to get worse, and then I sent you home. But I believe all of that, but I know how this turns out, and I know who holds my future. And so I speak faith to you. And there's been a key. There's been two statements hooked into one that we've been saying that the Lord quickened to our heart starting that day and through every week since then. And each week we've said this. In our key in our new year, here's what we're saying. We're saying, look to Jesus, look to the Word. You know, when in doubt, read the directions. No. First go to. Look to Jesus, look to the Word. I believe this is a great ride. But as I said in my last statement last week was this, it's going to cost though. This ride's going to cost. It's going to cost. We've been talking about foundations in our lives. Foundations aren't cheap. Foundations take time, effort, planning, money, finance, ground prep. That's all in the natural. There's some digging done. There's some hauling away done. There's trash cleaning. There's finding where the source of power is going to be, where the refreshing water is going to come from. Foundations are not cheap. And we've heard about the man who built upon the rock foundation, and the scriptures clearly call this man what? Wise. Called him wise. Why was he wise? Was he smarter than everybody else? Not necessarily. But he was wise because he obeyed God's plan. He obeyed God's word. And speaking about wise things, we're talking first, the most wise thing we can do is lay the foundation of the word of the Lord. What do we do? Now what? We go to work. We go to work each morning. We're going to work. Not only are you going to your natural job and the natural thing when you have your needs provided for, you might not be singing hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. It may be a drudgery sound there, but we are doing that. And by the way, work is honorable, whatever kind of, it's honorable unto God. Don't demean that work thing, but we're intentional in what we're building for God. We saw for the last 2 years, I would call him, as far as college ball is concerned, we saw what I would call a transformational athlete in the young man who was the quarterback for LSU this year. He was recognized with the Heisman Trophy. He was quite an incredible young man, a gifted young man. In a few weeks, he's going to be very, very rich as he's taken in the first round by somebody there. But they asked the coach, they asked Brian Kelly something about describing him. And here's the way he described Jaden Daniels. And I thought this was, boy, you talk. And when he said it, I wrote it down and I saved it for today. He said this. He said he was intentional, thoughtful, and committed to the plan. How did it work for him? He was intentional, he was thoughtful, and he was committed to the plan. Notice those three words. Those will preach. Intentional, thoughtful, and committed. That's pretty strong. This is everything. This concept, truth, runs through every one of the testaments. Intentional, thoughtful, committed. That's what he said about the young man. Don't you want that said about me and said about you and said about what we want to do for God? This theme runs through the testaments. It runs from the covenant founders. The prophets even alluded to this concept. The kings that came forth that honored God, they were intentional. They were thoughtful. They were committed. The disciples were intentional and thoughtful. The apostles that came later, but they're all linked by one word and one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us by him all things consist. Through him all things consist. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And why do we do this? Why do we have this exercise as we talk about foundations? It has a lot to do with what God is building as the vision for the world, his heart for the world, even for our city, even our, but it starts with ourselves. It starts with our, and he wants to touch us. There's two Bible words that we do this to equip and to edify. Let's talk about those words for just a minute. This is the necessity to have in our hearts, and this we need to do this so that when this thing starts to shake, We have something to hang on to. We're committed to something. Where do I get those words? I get them in the New Testament teaching of Paul from Ephesians chapter 4. And it said, he himself, who do you think that is? Jesus Christ. And he gave a little bit of the story of who he was and what he did. He gave some to be, number one, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now stop right there. These names and these words, when you see them together, is what people commonly refer to as the five ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts. And if you've had any kind of class at all on that, you understand that concept. Now, you have to remember that I read it verse 11, but in verse 8, where it said, when it talked about when he left, it said, when he ascended on high, when he said goodbye and he went up into the clouds, it says he gave gifts unto who? Men. He gave gifts unto men. Why is that? Now watch this. The fivefold ministry. So you have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and the teachers. Why this? Verse 12 explains it right here. For the equipping of the saints. I put in parentheses the equipping of his saints. He gave these gifts to us so that we would grow. For the equip, number one, get equipped. You got to have the right equipment. The saints for the work of the ministry, and a little bit deeper, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means to build up. To build up. When we hear the word, somebody came to edify, he came to build us up. You know, and it is my hope that I'm going to edify you and build you up. And say, Lord, touch each one of us right now. Touch our hearts right now. Lord, we want to build for you. But it is on the foundation that he laid and that he gave. Oh, now, for how long is this drill? Verse 13 tells us for how long. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can I be the first in line to say, I ain't there yet? But as I work and we together, none of us are. And as we work to being edified and equipped in the word, we're getting closer to him. See, as we're getting closer to him, the other things that occupy our brain get crowded out, and he understands that. So why should we be equipped? Why should we be edified? This is beautiful. It's almost romantic. Some of you are smiling even. Isn't that beautiful, those words of Jesus? And you know what? And watch this. Paul turns it this way, and he said, and why? Why all of this? Verse 14, that we should no longer act like kids. That we should not be like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I see Christians that are tossed by every wind of doctrine. If somebody's got a gift of gab or something like that, they'll follow that. And that's why we need to be edified. We need to be strengthened. We need to be equipped. The discernment has to be alive in our hearts. And he said, because by the trickery of men and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Things are deceitful in our world right now. And don't think, and it is a spirit. It's a spirit that is loose in our world today. That's why we need to be edified, built up, and equipped. We have the ability, and we do it in our gathering just like this. Why is this here? I answered it very simply. This is important to God. How many of you want to do something that's important to God? Remember when we told you the wise man, we read that last week, the wise man built his house on the foundation. He was a wise man. Well, here's the flip side of it. Here's the alternate side. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, and I was in Luke last week, but I'm in Matthew today. Now watch this. This is the opposite of that story. These words I speak to you, they are not incidental additions to your life. A lot of times people think these words are just incidental additions. We add this to our bag of tricks. That was the problem, that when the people saw the miracles and they offered to pay for, can we do those miracles? They didn't want the God, they wanted the trick. They thought it was a trick. It said, these are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words. There's that word. Words to build a life on. Listen to that. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, here's his Dale Carnegie version. You're like a stupid carpenter or the foolish man who built his house on a sandy beach. And when a storm rolled in, when the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You know what they called this man? Foolish. It's an unusual dynamic when we look at this. When you read this scripture and you read it in all the different versions there, here's what you can pull out of that. And I think Lynn was doing it this morning with the verse that if he said this, the understanding is the opposite. If we don't honor that, what he says. To those who will hear, you know, this part is the big part. Everybody hears it. To all those who will hear but do not obey, this is where the gap narrows, you see? That the gap narrows. We all hear, but do we apply it in our lives? And the gap, somebody said, the closer you get to the cross, the more narrow it becomes there. Everybody hears, but as we go a little closer, and if we do not obey, we're called foolish. Do you realize that it is possible to hear and not to do? And not to do. And not to do. Lord, help me. I've been working on that. James said it this way in chapter 1. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you're that way, that's James chapter 1, verse 22. We walk in self-deception. Self-deception is a tragic thing. When we walk in deception, we've got a problem. It's real easy to deceive ourselves. We all suffer that through that. It's easy to get deceived. That's why we need to be equipped. That's why we need to be at a spot in our lives and hearing word where it edifies us and builds us up, because storms are going to be coming. I said it this way last week. A fool thinks it can be done another way. You see people cutting corners, even in the natural. It comes back either way. Take care of yourself. Take care of your bodies. Do those good things. We all need to push away just a little bit more. Think of those things. Be strengthened. Be edified. You're a temple. You're a temple. Some of us are cathedrals, but we're all temples. The line starts behind me today. A fool thinks he can do it another way. I can do that. I can say those things, but I think I can do it this way. Proverbs said it this way: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end, it's the way of death. I'm actually using that next week in one of the things I'm laying out right now. Some people just call that rebellion against God. So here's the plan. Paul laid it out for me and for you. He said, "For no other foundation can anyone lay in their lives that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen. I could drop the mic, say God bless you, and go home. Amen. That's pretty good. That's a good word. Be encouraged with that today. For our lives, Jesus Christ is the only foundation. The prophet Isaiah said it this way. He was the chief cornerstone. He called him the sure foundation. It runs through the testaments. It's the thread. Now, the next part of this story, to me, is the important part first. It is where are the components of our foundation, the materials in our doctrines? How do we grow? How do we get edified? How do we get equipped right now? Hebrews 6 laid it out in foundational words. And he said, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, the concepts had already been laid out by the time this was written. And the implication is here, okay, we believe, we've prayed the prayer, but now growth. Are we going to grow? Are we going to grow? If we look back on ourselves, are we going to grow to match the size of that word right there? Are we going to grow? Let us go on to perfection. And this is a decision. We make a decision. I'll do this in choices next week. When we decide to make that decision, don't go back and quit trying to dig it up and look at it again. Do it and go on. Do it and go on. Get on in the door with it. Be encouraged right now. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You understand that. Of faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptism. Of the laying on of hands. Of the resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. And this we do. This we do. This we will do. If God permits. We understand the concept basically this way. We cannot move to any kind of maturity. We can't build anything unless those foundations are right in our lives. Many people delay maturity. They delay doing things for God because they've not walked in obedience to those first things. They're trying to do another thing instead of what he said. And once the foundation is established, the concept here tells me, go on, go on, build something. Things are so clear right here. You can see it so clear. Don't you wish you could see something? You see something so clear, but other things, it's dark right now. And that's where we need the word. That's where we need to walk. We're in our world right now. And, you know, I heard somebody give a speech the other day and says, everything's great in the world. The economy's wonderful. My question is to you, are you going to believe government statistics? Are you going to believe your grocery bill? Somebody's lying. Somebody said years ago when I was a kid, it would take two people to carry $200 worth of groceries in a bag. And now the kids are so strong now, a kid in kindergarten can carry a $100 bag of groceries right now. It's so clear. Lord, I can see this clear. Help me for the things that I can't see yet. I'm working. I'm trying to be equipped. I'm trying to be edified. And I'm trying to do both and encourage people right now. So what can we do? You see, they're called the foundation stones for a reason. They're called that for a reason. The application is, as we live our lives, we follow the Hebrews pattern. You say, what do you mean? What would be the pattern? Well, as we live our life, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. We're going to sin. Every one of us are going to sin. So repent when we sin. That's what the word said. Well, I don't know what to do with my faith. Well, walk in faith, point it to God daily. Well, what am I going to do with my life here? Walk in blessings of a new life into the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what's going to happen right now? Well, we receive and we impart to others as we lay hands and we bless people in Jesus' name. We walk in the concept of resurrection life, that when this is over, we know who we are. All these foundations, these should already be established. It should be established we are looking forward to eternal life with him. So now what? We make the commitment, a covenant commitment, to walk in obedience, to walk in faith as we serve the Lord. I wrote a bunch of questions to myself. Are you ready to go on? Sometimes I am. Have I grown? Some things. Who's speaking into you? I have to work on that sometimes. Somebody said for a happy life, there's two things you never do. Don't watch the news and don't step on the bathroom scale. They'll both discourage you. What are we going to do? The foundations are there. What about my continuing education? This means I have to read something all the time. I have to listen to something all the time. I have to build myself up all the time. And I have to do it in a way that is not necessarily tied into a preparation for something that I have to do every week. Because that's where you really grow in those times and in those moments where you say, Lord, man, that's for me right now. It may be just a statement. It may be just a phrase. But as these things stay in the forefront of our mind, it takes the place of the things that would take us out of the game. I'm doing better than your faces are showing. So there's more. There's more. You know the commercial? They show you the knives. You buy these right now. But there's more. But there's more. I told you, I'm a sucker for those things. I'll watch them. I'm amazed. And none of that stuff works. None of that stuff works. None of that stuff. I'm amazed that I was set it and forget it. I remember one time we hadn't been... maybe Jeff was born, and I saw this infomercial, and we lived over by the old church, and I saw this infomercial, and it was the coolest little cute little gizmo. And what it did, you take your boiled egg and you put it in it, and you push it down like that, and the shell would come off, and the little egg would pop out at the bottom, and it was all done there. And the lady did it; she smiled. Even your kids can do it. The kid grinned. He did that right there. I said, "She's gonna love me, man. I'm making life easier for her." This little thing came in the mail. Boy, I got something for you. Boil a couple eggs. We're going to do this here. And she's looking at me like, poor boys, it's insane, you know. And I said, no, this is great, man. I've seen it. And on the box, they're on the front, and they're grinning like this. And they're doing that. And then they're holding the little naked egg. It's there just happy and smiling like that. It's so beautiful. And what do you do with it? I said, well, you wedge it in here. And we put it in here. And I got on top of it. And at first, it was a little hard. And I went, whoop! And when I did, the egg went, poof! The whole thing. It just blew across the room. It blew across the front of me, on her, and she said, well, that's real good, she said. No, well, maybe I didn't get it right this time. Let's do it again. And sure, she said, well, I'm standing back. And sure enough, I put it in there and wedged it in, and I gave it that whoo, like that, and it just, again like that. A few days later, I was cleaning up, and I saw it in the trash. It didn't get there by itself. But I have to know what's speaking into me. That's if I'm equipped and I keep getting edified with a fresh word of the Spirit of God each day. See, the theme of foundations, remember last week when I read the worlds were created with foundations and I read those drive-by scriptures real quick? On the foundations he created. If he even created this world on foundations, how important is foundations when God speaks about foundations? Well, do you know that when this is over, you're going to a city that has foundations? That's pretty neat. The place he has built for me for eternity and built for you in eternity, it has foundations. Matthew 25, 34 said, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," the founding of the world. But there's more than that. Not just that world, the world to come. Hebrews 11 says it this way. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he would receive his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and heirs of the same people. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. When this is over, we look at Revelation 21. Now the wall of that city, what city? That city where we're headed to right now. It has 12 found, perfect government, by the way, 12 foundations. And there were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 4 or 5 verses later, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. He spared no expense for the place that he's building, and it has foundations. No pilings driven, no flood insurance needed. He's built a place for all of us right now. I have a friend who writes country songs. He's Christian, but he writes country songs, so I don't know what the hell that works out. He wrote a fun little cute song. He said, "I pray you go to heaven, but I pray you don't live on my street." And that's it's kind of what he did there. We're going to a place that has foundations. Listen to this one. Nevertheless, the solid foundations of God stands, and it has this seal. Now, I'm taking this now from 2 Timothy 2:19, because the Lord knows who are his. And the last statement of that 19th verse says this, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ," who are getting edified, who are getting equipped, "depart from iniquity." We're born in iniquity. We're born with it. So today, as I turn the corner, I come back to where I came in 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago when I stood in front of you, and I've lived in Psalm 11 for about almost 2 months now. In verse 1 where he says, "I trust in the Lord for protection." Stop right there. That's always a good way to establish, especially when you don't quite know where you're headed. Lay your cards on the table, as Grandma used to say. You know what he's really saying there? He says, "In the Lord, I will put my trust." Or as a little kid would say, that's where you put your weight down. In the Lord, that's the foundation of my life. And what's going on, he's made this as an affirmation because his detractors are trying to hang him out to dry. And he said, "So why do you say to me, 'Fly like a bird to the mountain for safety'? The wicked are stringing their bows," he's saying. "They're fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows." That means secretly they're trying to attack me as a covenant man. "At those whose hearts are right." And he's made an affirmation, but he's hearing what they're saying. And the statement says, "The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do?" If this was a map in a mall, in parentheses right under there, it would say, "You are here." Got it. If this was the map in the mall, "You are here." I am here right now. The New King James Version says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" That's why we've been doing this for these last 4 weeks now, to encourage you. Oh, there are things that'll discourage you. And boy, it'll overwhelm you if you're not careful. But you got to make sure the intake of faith gets stronger than the speaking of doubt. Who's speaking into your ears? I have to work on that, I got to tell you. In some ways, I'm a realist, but I have faith. You know, when we went through some of the very difficult things we all went through a few years ago, and everybody lost everything. And it was one of those things. And I had a very renowned preacher call me on the phone. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "I finally figured out what I am, because we're hanging on there." He said, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a pragmatic faith man." He said, "Wait, I got to think about that for just a minute. I see what we're dealing with. I'm not denying what I have to deal with. But at the same time, I believe God will get me through if I will walk and get edified, get equipped, and get strengthened." And it's not just a drive-by prayer you do one time and then wait for the bus to heaven and then live like you always lived. It is a daily walk. It's a daily walk. It's one step in front of another. And that may be all we see right now. Now, notice this. He has his detractors. They're throwing rocks at him. They're shooting arrows at him. And notice this affirmation stirs up in him right now. And I want to tell you this. This might be a good thing you might learn to say. It might not be in you at first. You agree with it, but you don't draw on it. So that comes with the repetition. That comes with living. That's saying it more, let it come. But notice in the midst of all the difficulty, if they're destroyed, what can the righteous do? And he is saying it this way. He said, "But the Lord is in his holy temple." I can't leave you with anything stronger than that after 4 weeks. All is well, according to him, all is well in the world, but according to my eyes, hey, have you looked at that lately, God? No. The Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord still rules from a city that has foundations. He rules with a place he built for you, and he built for me right now. Be encouraged today. I hope you're encouraged. Next week, it's very encouraging next week. I mean, if you need somebody who's low in spirit, this is really going to be a good word to encourage them. I mean, it's written, it's all over the notes. In fact, I was looking at them early this morning even. The Lord still rules from heaven. And I think I said this 4 weeks ago when I read it real quick, and this is probably the first reference anywhere that you see in any writing anywhere where the statement he's making a list, checking it twice, shows up. It said he watches everyone closely. He examines every person on earth. Next week, the word examination is going to come forth as we examine our hearts in our communion time. Last week, we found out the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But it also says here in verse number five, the Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. And you want to know where you want to land? It said the Lord hates those who love violence. Oh, the Lord is love. God's love. God doesn't hate. Look what it says there. And he will rain down coals, blazing coals, burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with scorching winds. So the wise people who build on foundation day after day, being edified, being exhorted. For the righteous Lord loves justice, and the virtuous will see his face. This isn't some little cute little word type thing. It's not something that you put on. It's not a pristine thing, I'm presuming. No, it's like, God, I've messed up a few times. And using this foundation, I'm going to repent where I messed up. But, Lord, I'm laying the foundation. I'm going back to those things. Does this answer about standing, stability, and security? I think so. Because I said the only foundation is the word of Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, it's wise. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Stand to your feet. I waited for this moment. This is all wise. I had somebody last week come to me, one seated here right now with a mischievous kind of look on the face, and said, "I think you ought to see if they can do it without looking at the thing yet. So start looking, because it may happen one day, all right? Turn it on, Mary Alice. Let's make our affirmation. Hold your word up. This word is wise." That's what we build on. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. All right, real loud on the right word. You'll get to it. It is the foundation of my life. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, I took you all month to land you right back here where we started. So I open with this statement. 24 is here. The question, now what? I use the word of a coach today. Be intentional. Be thoughtful. Be committed. Be intentional. Be thoughtful. Be committed. So I said it's 2024, 4 weeks ago. Now what? The word is get busy. Start digging. I promise you I'd leave you totally encouraged, but I'll probably just throw one little monkey wrench into it. You've only got 11 months left. You've already blown a whole month right now. And as unto God, start today, build something. Let him encourage you right now. Be strengthened, be edified. Make these next months a rocket. Do your best work. Do your best work. Grow further than you have ever grown before. When you wonder how big, think of that sitting right there. That started out as one message for Father's Day. It ain't going anywhere anytime soon because we need to be reminded of that. Right hands up. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace. May the Lord give you blessings this week. New blessings, new ideas, new things. Some of you need some rest. Speak rest to you right now. Some of you have children you're concerned about. Some of you have different things that are overwhelming you. Let a healing touch come to you in Jesus' name. How do you do it? You start running to the foundation. The word will edify you. The word will equip you. The word will help you build the foundation. Pain is swept away in this healing flood.